I mentioned that St. Angela founded the Ursulines as a teaching order. Particularly, she was devoted to teaching young girls our faith and developed her order, the Ursulines, to do especially that. We are blessed to be in the chapel of St. Angela Ricci today and also grateful for the service of the Ursuline sisters throughout history here at Bishop Miege High School, represented today by Sister Martina. This idea of teaching, the idea that one generation has to hand on and teach another generation, was God's design ultimately. He made it so that all of us start out weak and not able to walk or take care of ourselves or know anything. If you think about it, God wouldn't have had to have done it that way. He could have made it so that when human beings reproduced, they came into this world fully knowledgeable and prepared and ready. I'm always amazed when we look especially at like the animals and how, you know, those of you that have been on a farm, you know, a cow is born and it's only a couple days before the cow is up and running around as a little calf with its mom. Or you think of the deer that are born and, you know, that pretty soon they're up and they're running around and they're ready to be parents themselves almost a year or so later. But God made it so that humans take this long, drawn-out process to learn and grow. And we have to ask, well, why did he do that? It wasn't a mistake. Clearly, he has two things in mind there. One is that he wants us, as we get older, to recognize our responsibility, I think, as adults, to help form others. But also, probably as young people, to recognize, hopefully, in our humility, that we don't know it all. There's more to learn. In fact, we would even say that in a beautiful way, we need each other. Like Paul describes in his beautiful second reading about how we are many parts but one body. How beautiful that is to think, especially as we return from the March for Life and standing up for the dignity of all human life, to realize that we're all parts of the body of Christ. From that little tiny baby and growing in its mother's womb to the elderly person at the end of their life. As Paul says, how could we say to one, we don't need you? You know, as we've tragically said to 55 million little children, we've essentially said, we don't need you. You're too small and insignificant and in some ways hidden, so we could just kind of casually get rid of you. Or to the elderly at the end of their life, sadly, to say, well, you've kind of used up, you know, your quality of life, as they like to say. You know, wouldn't it be better to just get on with it? You know, to put grandma out of her misery, as we see elderly people sometimes in pain. But we're doing essentially what St. Paul cautioned us against. We're saying we don't think in our eyes that this person has much to offer us, whether they be really small or really old or mentally challenged or handicapped in some other way. But St. Paul, how wonderful he gives us this reading, right, as we return from the March for Life, to remind us we are all parts of the body of Christ. And it's not just those that are small or old. All of us have our own abilities, certainly, but also our own defects, things that we're not so good at. But the good news is we're not alone in this. We've got our brothers and sisters that God put us together for this reason. One person may be really great at going out and teaching, like St. Angela Ricci. Another person may say, I don't understand it well enough to go out and teach. But you think of like Mother Teresa, who is not known as someone who went out and was a great theologian, although if you read her, she really was. But here's someone who just by her example of life said, I don't necessarily know how to talk about the presence of Jesus in theological terms, but I'm going to go out and show people. I'm going to go serve the poor and take care of them. And I don't know if you saw it, but it's always beautiful at the Mass for Life that a lot of times the missionaries of charity in Washington actually run a little orphanage and they'll bring their little babies with them to the Mass for Life, as they've done in the past. We need all of us, and together we make a whole body. I pray that as we come back now, I think it's important that we recognize not just what I said the other day about being able to stand up later and say, what did I do? All of you now can say you did it. You marched on Washington. When anyone questions you about, did you do something to stand up for life? You can say, absolutely, I did. But I think more importantly, it's not so much about what have we done? Great as that is over these last couple days and all that we've endured. It's a better question, I think, though, what will we do now? How will we now go out and build up the body of Christ? We have others who need to learn, who we have to teach. God gives us these experiences like the March for Life, that beautiful mass with all our Catholic brothers and sisters, when we can really feel the body of Christ. He does that not just so we can say, wow, that was great for me, but now how do I go out and share it with those who are weaker? Maybe, you know, weaker in the sense not that they're younger than us. They may be older than us. They may be your own parents that maybe don't get what this was all about. Yeah, it's nice that you go do this, but is it really all that important? Sometimes I know from this experience, people come back and you're on fire and ready to go out and share the message of the gospel of life, and that's awesome. We got to have people to do that. The question is, how will your life be different now? How will this be more than just a few days, long bus rides, a mass, a march? Is that all it is? Or will you look back on this blessed experience in your life as a day where things changed, where you can say, I got it? And whatever that might be, whether it be the beautiful experiences, the mass and the communion we have, the experience of being with 500,000 people, realizing that, hey, we're not so alone in our views on life. And that's just a handful of the people that could be there in Washington. Whatever it is that kind of maybe hits for you, and maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's going to take a little bit of sleep and a shower and some laundry, and then eventually you could sit down and think about this and feel, as you look at your pictures maybe, you know, what was this really all about? Whatever it is, I can say that I think it's about Jesus building up his body and helping us to realize more what St. Paul knew. But we need everybody. Everybody that's on this trip, everybody we've been praying for. We think how close, you know, a number of us expressed that Mrs. Perini really helped build up this March for Life, but helped build us all up so much. She gave her gifts to the body of Christ, and rightfully, when she's gone, a lot of us are feeling a little bit of a loss of how do we replace her? Well, we don't. We don't replace anybody in the body of Christ. We need everybody. And for me, I think that's the thing that really hits me about abortion. 55 million little children, that all of them had their mission, irreplaceable in the body of Christ. What would they have been? Who were they supposed to be? How many gifts have we missed out on because we haven't respected the elderly or listened to what they had to tell us? Today can be a new beginning, I think, in a lot of ways. And that's what I pray at this Mass, that through the intercession of St. Angela Merici, a great teacher herself, that we would be a little bit like those people in the first reading. They rediscovered the law of God. It had been hidden away. They had been exiled. And they get back to rebuild the temple. And someone discovers, look, I found the law. And they wept, it says, because they weren't doing it. Maybe in some way on this trip you have rediscovered something about your faith. Or maybe discovered something for the first time. As one student kind of had a revelation and put it to me, it's all true, Father. It's all true. I'm like, what? Our faith, it's all true. I can't make events like that happen, but they happen. I don't know how it happened for you or what happened for you, but I pray that it might be a little bit like that rediscovering of the law, to say, I've got to go do something, that your life would be different. And as you do it, you know that you're a member of a body, a beautiful family, the body of Christ. No one can replace anybody in the body of Christ, and we pray that you would go out and fulfill your mission to be the best member of the body of Christ that you can.